Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Kings. We have been in a series of messages for a little while now dealing with being intentional in our worship. There are three areas that we want to show intentionality in our lives, three areas, worship or witness or walk. And we're going to be talking about the other two as we move forward in our series. But here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, last week we dealt with Elijah. He had just confronted Ahab. He had told King Ahab in verse 1 of chapter 17 that because of their sin, because of the nation of Israel's sin, God was going to withhold rain. Matter of fact, he even said there wouldn't even be dew on the ground until God says it's going to happen. Ahab and his wife Jezebel had taken the nation of Israel into idolatry. As a matter of fact, the Bible says of Ahab in the earlier chapters of the same book that Ahab had done more to provoke the Lord God to anger during his reign as king than any other king before him. So it was a very dark, very, very dark days for the nation of Israel. But let me just say something to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as dark as this world may get, he's still on his throne. He is still God and there is none other. He is still Savior. He still forgives us of our sin. He saves us, and I'm grateful to God that he saves us. Amen, aren't you? If you've been born again, I was born again when I was 16 years of age. God saved me. He changed my life, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for his saving power. I'm grateful for the joy and the privilege we have of worshiping the only true God. And that statement is not politically correct, but it's biblically correct. We worship the only true God, the Lord God Jehovah. When we ended our sermon out of 1 Kings, I think it was chapter 18 the other day, chapter 19, when we ended it, we find that Elijah had come out of chapter 18 where he had confronted the prophets of Baal. God then tells Elijah, you go tell Ahab, it's getting ready to rain. So Elijah goes as the prophet of God. Also bear in mind that the prophets of God literally spoke for God. When they spoke, it was literally as if God was speaking himself. They had a special call of God in their lives. And yet God is going to take Elijah to Mount Carmel. He confronts all the false prophets that Jezebel had at her beck and call. And God, of course, in chapter 18, he answers by fire. The true God answers by fire. Elijah had said to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. But if not, serve Baal. So he put him to the challenge. God answered by fire. It was miraculous. Fire falls from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, consumes the water that was all around in the trenches. And the people knew, Israel knew from then on, that indeed God, the Lord God, reigns even in Israel. Even in the midst of dark days, God was still there. Now let me also say this. To some in the land of Israel during this time in Elijah's life, to some they thought that God had gotten silent, that God had grown silent in his life. But understand something, God wasn't silent, but their sin was separating them from him. I will say this to you, sin does that to all of God's children. It separates us not from salvation, because if you've been born again, you are indeed that. It's impossible to become unborn. But sin does do something. It separates us from our fellowship. It separates us, in our worship of the Lord. But what I want to do, I want us to go back in the story. When we ended chapter 19, Elijah has now had been running for his life. He was discouraged. Jezebel said because of what he did, she was going to take his life. She said, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to take your life from you. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but as I said to you last Sunday, if the president of our country, President Barack Obama's wife, issued a decree that they were going to take your life by the next day, how would that make you feel? I'd be a little nervous, wouldn't you? Sure you would be. Well, the point is, and that's what was happening in Elijah's life. Elijah now runs for his life in chapter 19, summing that up. He gets discouraged. He gets himself under, he runs away from his servant. He runs a day's journey in chapter 19. You don't have to read it because I just want to sum this up because I'm going to back this up. But he runs for his life. He gets under a juniper tree and there he sits and he literally tells God, he said, God, it is enough. Take my life, God, from me. I got to thinking about that. Why would he say that? Well, maybe it was because, as far as he was concerned, because the mightiest nation in the world and the king and his wife had issued a decree that he was to die, it was inevitable that he was going to be killed. So maybe Elijah thought, God, they want to kill me, so God, don't let them kill me. God, you kill me. You take my life. But here's what we learn about Elijah. God began to speak into his life. God began to encourage him. The heart of worship, the Lord Jesus Christ began to speak into Elijah's life and let him know, hey, I'm still here, son. The obstacle may seem insurmountable. The situation, the trial, the test may seem like it's going to take you under for the last time. And you may think that it's so great that there's no way you can get through it. But understand, God's saying to Elijah, I'm still here. You're not alone, but God, Elijah cries out, God, I'm the only one that's standing for you. God, I'm the only one in the whole land that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. And I'm the only one, God says to Elijah, no, son, that's a wrong estimation because I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And oh, Elijah, I've got 7,000 that haven't kissed that false idol. So God begins to pour in to the life of Elijah. He begins to encourage him. Last Sunday, we dealt with the hindrances to worship. Today, I want us to deal with the reasons for worship. Why do we worship? Well, we know this, the very simple reason we worship is because he's worthy. Amen. God is worthy. We gave you a definition of worship is just simply meaning to ascribe honor, excellence to God alone. And we do because he's worthy. But I want us to back up in the story of Elijah's life. We leave him now as God's going to encourage him next Sunday, Lord willing. Next Sunday, we're going to deal with some other aspects of Elijah's life, how God then allows him he brings him out of that discouragement. He brings him out of that distraction. He brings him out of his delusion, because that's what happens when we get distracted as God's children. We get discouraged, leads to delusion. We start believing lies. We start telling ourselves lies. But God then allows Elijah to pour his life, spend the rest of his life pouring into a young man by the name of Elisha, and we'll look at him next Sunday. But today, I want us to back up in chapter 17, and we're going to center this sermon around the reasons we worship, and I'm going to show you some things that I think will be an encouragement to you because of this reason. You say, preacher, yeah, but I've never been Elijah. I'm not Elijah. But I am God's child. If you're born again, you can say, I'm God's child. And preacher, sometimes I find myself in areas, I find myself going through trials that seem absolutely insurmountable. They absolutely consume my thought life. They absolutely consume my heart. They absolutely take over my life. So what do I need to do? Here's what I want you to do. And I'm preaching this even to myself this morning. I want you to go back in your mind. If you have to go all the way back to the moment God saved you, I want you to do that. Can you do that with me? Now, if you're not saved this morning, before you leave this building, I promise you we're going to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus as your Savior. So just stay with me. Don't tune me out. Just stay with me for a moment. And I want us to go back in our mind, maybe to the moment God saved us. We cried out to God. God forgave us of our sins. He born us again. You didn't hear me. He forgave us of our sins. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that awesome? I wrote as the choir was singing this morning, I was jotting down a couple of the thoughts that came from this song that they did. Fantastic job. Brian, you did a great job, my brother. The Lord's hand was on you this morning. He said, the song, did you hear what the choir sang?
Did the choir sing this morning?
Yeah, they sang. Did you hear it? Here's the song, all that is within me cries, right? Oh, God, all that is within me Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said we are to do? We're to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. That literally encompasses everything that we are, every aspect of our being. And here's why we cry, God. Here's why we worship you. The debt is paid. Our debt has been paid. Can I get a witness in the building this morning? Listen, we owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. To God be the glory. The debt is paid. Oh, Lord, we cry out to you this morning. Lord Jesus, not only is the debt paid, our chains are gone. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Wow. And oh, Lord, right out of the Bible, my heart sings a brand new song. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a song of the redeemed. Redeemed. I love that word. It means to be bought back, but bought back with a price. And that price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. We have a brand new song. Amen. When the Bible talks about he put a new song in our mouth. When God saves us, he does that. He puts a new song in your mouth. And literally when it says a new song, it literally means a song that has never been there before. That's what God did when he saved you. So, 1 Kings 17, stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. That was a 10-minute introduction. Verse 1 again of chapter 17. Man, tremendous crowd in the house this morning. I don't know who you thought was preaching today, but I appreciate you coming out. 1 Kings 17, and Elijah, the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now again, keep this. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can read passages like this and think, well, okay, Elijah's going before Ahab. He is going before the highest king in the land. All right? He is coming into the presence of a king who, by the way, who could have had him killed that instant. Amen? He could have had him killed. And Elijah, the prophet of God, walks in Ahab's court and he says to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Boy, that must have really rubbed him wrong. Because Ahab and his old precious wife Jezebel had led Israel down the trail of Baalism, false gods, and they were worshiping anything they wanted to. And Elijah walks in and says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, my God is alive, Ahab. My God is not a God that you can form with your hands. My God is not some statue that I bow down to. My God lives. Wow, that's awesome, isn't it? He says, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Look at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. So he's just come out of the king's court. A little while later, the word of the Lord comes unto Elijah, saying, Elijah, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, God speaking now, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Father, we love you. We pray your blessings, God, in the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, be our teacher and our guide. And God, we thank you for your providing hand. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We're thankful, God, that you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And for that, God, we're grateful. So, Lord, may we worship you, Lord. But may we indeed, as your children, truly understand why we should. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. May be seated. We had fast-forwarded in our story. Elijah, of course, at the end of his declaration to Ahab, indeed, God brings a sore famine. It's a horrible famine. It was so dry that there wasn't even dew on the ground. You can imagine the starvation. You can imagine the thirst, the hunger. You can imagine the hostility in the land that was taking place during these years. But here's what we learn. Even in the midst of the famine, God will take care of his kids. Even in the midst of dryness, God will take care of his kids. So Elijah, the prophet of God, is told of God to go somewhere. But the where is a very interesting thing. Because the Lord tells Elijah to go down, look at verse 4, but verse number 2 of 3 says, "Get thee hence, turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." Now, at first you may think to yourself, well, what's the significance of Cherith? It's a very insignificant place. But ladies and gentlemen, I hope over the next few moments to show you that even though it may seem insignificant on the pages of God's holy word, this little place called Cherith, it absolutely was a foundational place in the life of Elijah. And the reason it was, now stay with me, here's where I'm going with this. The reason the brook Cherith and another place in Zarephath, as we'll look in a moment, the reason this place was so special, because this place there was the perfect will of God for Elijah's life. So my question this morning is this. You're here, but are you there? You're here today, but are you there? And you say, well, preacher, what in the world are you saying? Well, let me show you some things, and I hope the Lord will use it. You see, when it comes to this aspect, and it comes to this passage of Scripture, this place there that we see was an interesting place for Elijah. God tells Elijah, Elijah, you've just confronted Ahab. I've given you the boldness to do that. You spoke the truth. But now Ahab, Elijah, they're going to want you dead. So I want you to go down to Cherith. I want you to go by the brook Cherith. And I want you to dwell there. No other place in the world. Elijah, I want you there. So we see this there. So we see several things. Number one, we see that there was the place of God's purpose. God had a purpose for Elijah's life. The reason we worship this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is because indeed of who he is and understanding God Almighty has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for it. The very reason you were created was to give God glory through your life. That's the whole reason. You see, we live in a culture that doesn't understand that. We live in a world that has the attitude of get all that you can all you get. Amen? Get all that you can in life. Step on whoever you have to. And then when you get older, you're able to be able to enjoy it. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's not why God created you. Oh, you are aware that God created you, right? You're not an accident of some evolutionary lie. You are the crowning work of God's creation. That's what mankind is. And you are not an accident. God created you. And we see in the life of Elijah, Elijah was to go down to Cherith. Now, as we go back in our mind to chapter 19, we left Elijah. He's discouraged. We left Elijah. He's no doubt consumed with the thought that his life is going to be ending. But now, there's no doubt in my mind that God, oftentimes when we get to places in our lives that it seems overwhelming, it does us good every now and then to go back to the theirs in our lives. Let me say it like this. Has God ever done anything for you? Has God ever provided for you? He's provided for all of us. You see this Cherith, this area, this brook Cherith, as you see in these verses. You say, preacher, you literally believe that this happened? Yes, I do. Because the Bible says it did. And we see some things about this. Notice Elijah's position. He tells Ahab that in verse 1, and we've already read it, not to be repetitive, but he says, as the Lord God, I love that, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand. Where was Elijah when he said that? He was standing before Ahab. What's the significance of Elijah's statement? Number one, the significance was, it's as if Elijah is saying to Ahab, the king at the time, Ahab, by the way, there is a higher court and there is a higher king than you are. And his name is Jehovah God. And oh, by the way, Ahab, he lives, and I'm standing before him. I'm standing literally for the Lord. And I hope that could be said of all of God's children, that we stand for him. We see his position. We see his protection. The prophet must take the lonely way of Cherith. And we see this in these verses. There was the place of God's purpose. God had a purpose for the life of Elijah. But we see, second of all, there was the place of God's power. Look at the text. Verse 4 says, "And Jesus says to him, And it shall be, Elijah, that thou shalt drink of the brook." Oh, did I tell you that there was a famine going on? Did I tell you that there was a drought? And God says to Elijah, "Elijah, there that thou shalt drink of the brook." Notice something else, supernatural. This is amazing. I love this. And God says, "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I don't know about you, but that verse to me, there's something a little odd about that verse. How many of you have ever gotten meal by a raven? I never have. I've shot a few blackbirds in my life, but I've never got a meal from a raven. The point being is, God knows how to take care of his children. He knows how to take care of you. You know, sometimes if we're not careful in our lives, we can get to, and I hope you're not here, sometimes we can get to the place in our life that we think we're in control of it all. Are you kidding me? You say, I've had people say to me, "Preacher, I handle the little things and I give God the big things." Here's the only problem with that ideology. God has not designed you or me to handle even the little things without him. We are to be totally dependent on our Lord God and Savior. Totally dependent on him. And Elijah is going to learn that he can depend on his Lord. There was a place of God's power. It was a place, letter A, it was a place of dependence. Look at verse 5. So he went. Wow. Isn't that awesome? God said, "Elijah, go down to Cherith. Go there. Don't go any other place. Go there. I've got something for you there." I'm convinced. I'm of deep conviction in this statement. I'm convinced that had Elijah gone any other place, he would not have experienced what he experienced by obeying God and going to Cherith. Let me also ask you this, humanly speaking, do you think when Elijah heard it, that it made sense to him? Not humanly speaking. Has God ever done that to you? Has God ever maybe spoken in your heart and said, "You know what? You're going to come through some things that, to be honest, Tracy, you're not going to understand, but just trust me." Wow. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. I said to you last Sunday, and I've said this to you on several occasions recently, and I've had people say this. Well, when you're going through a dark valley, look for the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to go on record and tell you this, and I've said this to you before, but I hope you get this, and I hope it resonates in your heart this morning. There are times walking in this life, going through those dark valleys. First of all, how many have ever gone through a dark valley? Raise your hand. Vast majority of us. I've had people say, "Well, when you're going through those dark valleys, look for the light at the end of the tunnel." I got news for you. There are many, many times there is no light at the end of the tunnel. You can't even see it. But as you see in chapter 19, you don't look for light, you listen for his voice. Because God speaks to his children. We know his voice. If you have been born again, you say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because, number one, if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He guides you. He guards you. He protects you. He absolutely watches over you. That's the God that we serve. That's what's so wonderful about salvation. You say, "Preacher, you keep talking about this salvation thing. You keep talking about this born-again thing. What do you mean by that? Do you mean baptism? Do you mean joining the church?" None of those. Number one, baptism doesn't save you. Let me say this like this. Baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven. No one. Church membership doesn't get anybody to heaven. Not one person. You go to heaven only if your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, on the authority of the Bible, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. On the authority of the Bible, we deserve hell. On the authority of the Bible, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, not to establish religion. He died to bridge the gap between God and man that sin had caused. And when he died, they buried him. He rose again 3 days later. And as we speak at 11:59 on a Sunday morning here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, he's alive as we speak. And the good news is, he's alive and he will forgive you of your sins if you trust him as your Savior right now. That's the kind of God that he is. When I stand before him, I won't be standing before him because my church got me there. I'll be standing before him because his son, God's son, got me there. So Elijah's going to learn this there, this Cherith was a place of God's power. It was a place of dependence, and honestly, it was a place of total dependence. Total dependence on the Lord. I'm almost done, but let me just share a few things, and I'm going to, from my own heart. Verse 5. Verse 4, he says, go. Verse 3, he says, go to Cherith. Verse 4, he tells him what's going to be provided for him. You'll drink of the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed him there, to feed thee there. Do you realize God's in control of his creation? You didn't hear me. God's in control of his creation. It's not the my hairspray is not going to cause this world to collapse. Can I get a witness in the building? The ozone layer is going to be okay. You know why? Because my God's controlling it. He's going to control it. You say, use hairspray? If I didn't, it'd be bad. It'd stick up like Brother Stevens does sometimes. Verse 5. So he went and did according to how he felt. No. Did according by his emotion. No. Don't trust your emotions. Don't trust your emotions when it comes to the Lord Jesus. Don't trust your feelings. You trust his word. You trust his Bible. Emotions will sometimes lead you areas that you don't want to go down. Our feelings can sometimes be twisted. Verse 5 says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. He just simply did what God said to do. Where do we, as God's children, mess up? When we quit doing what God says to do. Very specific. You are aware that in this world will let you down. Right? People. Listen, stay with me. Stay focused on this. People will let you down. People will fail you. You know why? Because we're human beings. And you know why? Because we're sinners. Now, if we're born again, we're saved sinners. But people will let you down. That happens. But God never will. He never will let you down. So he went, in very specific terms, the Bible says he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. Where are you at this morning? You're here, but are you there? You said, preacher, well, no. You're here. And we've already established for several weeks that the sole purpose to which you exist is to worship your Lord. You say, yeah, but pastor, I'd be a lot better if it weren't for this person and that person and this person and that person. Hogwash. Can I get a witness in the building? My worship, listen, friend, my worship of my king isn't contingent on the people around me. It's a personal issue. Can you imagine standing for Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ after wasting decades of our life because somebody done something that we didn't like, having to say to Jesus, "Well, Jesus, I would have served you better, but that person there, they let me down. They didn't do what I wanted." Can you imagine what Jesus may say? Maybe Jesus would say something like this. You don't worship them. You worship me. Your worship. We worship him because he's worthy. You mean to tell me in churches people get hurt?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never go back up to that church, or I'll never trust that person again. You're going to miss out on the blessings of God when bitterness gets into your life. What is our job? What is our job as God's children to do? Listen for his voice. Very simple. Listen for his voice and do what he says. That's it. Listen for his voice, do what he says. You say, "Yeah, Pastor, no, there is no..." Remember growing up, your parents ever said, used to drive me crazy. When I'd be ready to get this, and when they were getting ready to whoop me. Didn't happen a lot because I was the perfect child. You don't believe that, I hope. Did you pull your sister's hair? "Yeah, but..." Well, what would my mom say? What would my grandparents say? There are no buts about it. When it comes to God, you know, one of my worst whoopings I ever got was in a Baptist church parking lot. True story. Me and my sister, we was in a little Pinto. We had a Pinto. It was me, my sister Shelly, my sister Kathy, my sister Dawn. Jason hadn't been born yet, I don't think. So all four of us are in the back of that Pinto. We put Dawn, she was the youngest, we shoved her in the back window. Amen? We just put her up there in the back window. You're like, we were okay. We didn't have a seatbelt on. We didn't have a car seat. Amen? And the reason we didn't wear seatbelts was because if we were getting disrespectful, my mom or dad would hit the brakes and they'd bring us forward enough to slap our face. Amen? Thank the Lord for Child Protective Services that stepped in and made it mandatory to wear a seatbelt. But disobedience, man, I got whooped with a switch. Why are you amening? You people are terrible. My counselor says I need to talk about it, so I'm talking about it. Still ain't got over it. But I've threatened my kids with it. My wife says, "You ain't touching them with a switch." And guess what? I haven't whipped them with a switch yet. Where am I going? Here's where I'm going. Very simple. For the next amount of time, Elijah obeys the Lord, and literally Elijah, he drinks of the brook, and he eats the food the ravens bring him every day. Supernaturally, God supernaturally provides. Why do we worship him? Because he's worthy. When we do worship him, we learn he provides. We learn there's power in him. We learn that even in difficult situations, he has not forgotten us. Everybody look up here for a minute. Look up here. Let me talk to you. Can I talk to you just for a second personally? You all right? All right, set up for me. Set up. I know in your mind you think you're setting up, but you're not. You are laying back. Everybody else in this are like, flink. It's better to learn in other people's life. But anyway, as you look up here for a second, let me ask you this. Do you think God has let you down? I promise you on the authority of his Bible, he has not. You say, "Yeah, but preacher, I don't understand this trial. I don't understand why all this has happened to me. I don't understand why all the circumstances have happened. I may not either. But one thing I do know, Brother Kevin Stimble, my God hasn't changed. And He's still God in the midst of all the circumstances. What do we do? What do we do? Stay looking for a second. What do we do when life doesn't go how we think it should? By show of hands, has that ever happened? It's happened to pretty much all of us. Life doesn't go how we think it should. Life doesn't go how we've figured it out in our mind and how we've planned it out in our mind. Life doesn't go like that. If it did, ladies and gentlemen, stay with me on this. This is awesome. If it did, we as God's children would never know the value and the blessing of walking by faith, not by sight. Amen. It had been very easy for Elijah to blame God for the trial. Blame God for the famine. Blame God for, well, God, why do I have to go down by Cherith? Nobody else is going to Cherith. God, why do I have to go to Cherith? God, why do I have to hide? Why do I have to drink of that brook Cherith, Lord? You don't understand it now, son, but there'll come a day that you will. Because Elijah, in a few years from now, you're going to be questioning my power. Elijah, in a few years from now, you're going to be questioning my provision for you. So Elijah, right now in Cherith, I'm going to develop your faith. Right now in Cherith, you're going to learn early on in your life to rely on me and not rely on what you see around you, because it changes like the wind. You rely on me. Remember, I asked you to go back to the moment God saved you. You trusted Him. Listen, you trusted Him with the most precious thing you had, your soul. He forgave you of all your sins the moment you asked Him to forgive you. And if you're here and you've never done that, you can do it right now. You ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and by faith you believe that Jesus died, was buried, He rose again. And you trust Him and Him alone. He saved you. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll save you. He'll change your life. You trust Him with the most precious thing you have. You trust Him with your eternity. But you know what we often do? We don't trust Him with our life. We think we control it. We think we are in control of it all. No. Maybe right now you're at Cherith. Maybe right now you're learning. God is teaching you. Because I do promise you this on the authority of God's Bible. God teaches His kids. He teaches them. He teaches them how to rely on Him and how to trust Him. Teenagers, this world will let you down. People will let you down. People will fail you. You know what they call that? It's called life. Sometimes it's hard. But sometimes God has to, even as teenagers, has to bring you to Cherith. And He has to teach you. And He has to show you how much He loves you by providing a drink of water in a dry season. By providing food supernaturally. By feeding you and blessing you. You say, Pastor, what in the world does this message have for me? You're here. But are you there? Where are you today? I don't think there was any other place on the planet where Elijah would have experienced the blessings of God other than Cherith. Cherith was the place God told him to go. He obeyed. He listened. We worship. We're intentional in our worship. He's worthy. We know He's worthy. He provides. He guides. He absolutely is our provision. You say, Pastor, but one of my favorite songs of all times, it's by a group, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Contemporary Christian group. It goes something like this. In the context of relationship with each other, I feel quite sure if I did my best, I can maybe impress you with tender words or harmony, a clever rhyme or two. But if all I've done in the time we've shared is turn your eyes on me, then I've failed at what I'm supposed to do. There's someone else I want you to see. And the chorus goes like this. Will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? When this moment is a memory, will you remember his face? Will you look back and realize? Will you look back and realize? You've sensed his grace more than you did before. I pray for nothing less than for you to love Jesus more. Say, preacher, why is that for me? What is that for me this morning? So the world's going to fail you. But God never will. And that psalm, may that psalm be a prayer of our life. May that song be a prayer of our lives that when we come through trial, may it bring us closer to our King. May it bring it closer to our Lord. May it bring it closer. It'd been very easy for Elijah to complain. You know, nothing good comes out of complaining. And to be honest, nobody really wants to hear it. They just don't have the heart to tell you. Right? Anybody married here today? Hey, man, come on now. Park there a while. Nope, because I'm married. I'm not going to park there. But it really doesn't do any good to complain. But what it does do good is to rest in Him. Rest in the Lord Jesus.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.